Many families in Wisconsin are dealing with the cost of long-term care for seniors or are worried about the potential for high costs in the future.
According to a new survey from the Associated Press, only about a third of older Americans have saved any money for long-term care expenses, and only 15% of those surveyed say they're extremely confident or very confident that they can afford those expenses.
Many people expect Medicare coverage to pay for significant costs, but while Medicare can help with direct medical treatment costs, it doesn't generally cover the kinds of assistance people may need in performing daily tasks when they're suffering serious health impairments.
Christine Bishop joins us now. She's an economist and professor at the Heller School at Brandeis University. She was a senior staff member on a U.S. Senate commission on long-term care in 2013. Christine, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I'm so pleased to be here. Wherever I go as an economist, if I'm just talking with people, everyone has a story about trying to make long-term care work for someone in their family. And the economics of this are really important.
Well, yeah, and the origin of wanting to talk about this, I was talking to a group of WPR listeners in their 60s and 70s a month or so ago, and a lot of them had stories about the cost of care for their parents, and they were worried about their own situation in the years to come. How big an issue is this nationwide?
Well, we are spending a lot as a nation and a society on this issue. We use a lot of resources for long-term services and supports for older adults. Currently, there are about 7 million people who are receiving these services, and it's well over $200 billion. And the nursing home is likely what you think of first. That serves about 1.5 million people. We have assisted living and paid home services, and all of these are very expensive. But the biggest cost is the time and effort of family and friends, informal caregivers and who are spouses and adult children and friends, and they're not paid, so sometimes they're thought of as free care, but this is also a huge resource for our care needs.
And this is something that can be really hard to prepare for. And you mentioned this to me when we chatted briefly yesterday. Some people are going to need a lot of expensive care. Some people are going to need almost nothing, and you don't know which it's going to be for you. So it's, how do you start to prepare for something like that?
Absolutely. The burden of costs of the need for care doesn't fall evenly, and it's about half of all people who turn 65 who will not need substantial long-term services and supports in their remaining lifetime. But at the high end of this need, there are about 14% of people will spend more than 5 years with a pretty high level of need, where they'll need care from a family member or paid care. And this is a very variable expense, and it's very hard to prepare for as an individual or as a family. It's really a problem.
And people often think, it sounds like, that Medicare is going to cover a lot of the costs, and that may be true for very specific medical parts of care. But when we're talking about a person with some kind of impairment where they need help, you know, living day to day, that is generally, as I understand it, not covered by Medicare.
That's absolutely true, that the Medicare program was designed for acute health needs. It does cover chronic health needs. If you need skilled nursing after a hospital admission, Medicare will cover a certain number of days, and it will cover some home health, but it does not cover care if what you need is help with function. Everyday tasks of daily living become difficult for people with functional impairment, and help with eating, with getting around, with dressing, with grooming, with getting to the bathroom are just not covered by Medicare.
Talking to Christine Bishop from Brandeis University, looking at the costs of long-term care for seniors. Christine, let's look at that institutional situation now. Somebody who needs more or less around-the-clock care, or at least access to that. Can you talk about how big a financial burden that can be for people?
Well, the average cost of a private room in a nursing home is well over $200 a day. And so people who do need nursing home care go into the nursing home and they can spend all of their assets quite quickly on that. So in many states, Medicaid will take care of people who become poor as well as those who are poor. Medicaid is designed originally as a program to assist people without means, but middle-class people can go into a nursing home and spend their assets and their income on the cost of care and then go on to Medicaid. So that's really why Medicaid covers so much of our nursing home care in this country. If you look at the total amount of nursing home care for that's really long-term care, it's 63% that Medicaid covers. And looking at that from the other side, by the way, that's a huge burden for states, that states are challenged to come up with a budget to take care of people who are in nursing homes and have become or are Medicaid eligible.
And we have a thing called long-term care insurance that people can buy. Is that working as a solution?
Well, that was very promising. About 20 years ago, I was very excited about it because it seemed to be an answer to sharing these burdens across more people, pooling across people. And people started to buy it, and it seemed to work very well. They assess people for need, and the insurance can kick in. It covers people now for care at home. And we did a study that found that people with this insurance were able to stay home at quite a high level of need for a longer period of time than people without this insurance, because they were getting some help with costs for home care. Currently, the insurance companies are having a lot of challenges with this, and we're finding them walking away from this business. I mean, anyone who's purchased insurance will have that covered. There is a promise to keep going with the insurance, but they aren't writing new policies at the rate that they were. So this does not seem to be working so well, and people have called it a niche market, that it's maybe designed for quite upper middle income people who can pay the high premiums.
Let's look at the cost side of things now. Is it the case that whether we're talking institutional care or hired home health care, are those things too costly now? Or is it just a fact that these are expensive things that to provide these services?
We don't see the kind of waste and abuse and so on that is alleged for our medical system. We don't see super high fees because it's a very competitive market. Medicaid pays at a pretty low rate in many places, and when the private payer is involved, they're going to shop for care, and so I don't think we've got waste and abuse here. We do have a basic fundamental issue that long-term services and supports requires hands-on care from another person, real services from an individual who is going to help the client, the person with the needs. And that means that as our economy keeps going and productivity goes up in other areas, we are going to have to pay these people a wage to draw them into the market, and I would even say we are not paying them enough now. So it's not as if these things are overly expensive or luxurious.
Let's talk about those workers a bit. We've talked about that here in Wisconsin. People who do home health care, various forms of nurse's assistants, other jobs at the lower levels are, I think, notoriously low paying here and around the country. Why is that?
I think there's a feeling with a lot of so-called care work that anybody can do it. And I would argue a bit differently, that people who are drawn into this field are really using their caring and emotional resources and ought to be compensated for that. They really are getting to know their clients, their residents, and how they like to be taken care of. And when we have high turnover in that field, either on a nursing home unit or for the person that's coming to a home to take care of an older adult, all that knowledge is lost, and a new person comes in the next day and starts with care that can be very intimate and so on. So I've been doing studies to try to find out how these jobs are organized, how we could make them better jobs so that people would feel more respected and valued. And part of it will be higher wages.
We're talking about the cost of long-term senior care with Christine Bishop from the Heller School at Brandeis University.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Is this an issue that you're dealing with in your family, or you're worried about it maybe in the near future? What kind of costs are you seeing, and how are you covering that? Are you providing free senior care for a family member, and how is that affecting your life? If you work in senior care, what are you seeing there? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferris.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation about the cost of long-term care for seniors. Christine Bishop is with us. She is a professor at the Heller School at Brandeis University.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Is this an issue for you and your family? Are you dealing with the costs of providing long-term care for yourself or a member of your family? Are you paying for institutional care? How is that going? Or are you providing care yourself? If you work at a care provider, we'd like to hear your perspective on these issues as well. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Christine, before we go to our callers, you were on a commission a few years back looking at solutions. What kind of solutions are out there to this fairly complicated issue?
Well, the fundamental issue, I would say, for our society and our politics is that this has been seen as an individual and family responsibility, and it's hard to move the needle to get people to think about sharing it across many people. That can be done through private insurance, of course, but I believe we need to have some kind of a public program that's going to make sure that people are sharing these costs. And that was the fundamental divide on this commission, which was made up of representatives appointed by both the Democratic and the Republican sides of our Congress. There are some ways of dealing with this that we see abroad, where Germany and Japan and some other countries really have made this a part of their social insurance scheme to make sure that there is a basic level of long-term services and supports that people will have access to.
Let's bring on our callers now at 800-642-1234. Joya is with us in Fitchburg. Joya, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I went through this experience for 3 years. My husband had a Parkinson's disease. He passed away from Parkinson's disease 2 years ago, and he wanted to pass away at home, so I had to arrange for the home caregiver and with the local agencies. And when I interviewed them, they said, we'll send two people, on a consistent basis. But in reality, they send me more than six people, because of the two people, one person could not come. They send somebody totally new who did not know how to take care of the person. And, I had to stay awake at night and to take care of him. And number one, for that, they would not deduct any money, though, that the person was incompetent caregiver.
Joya, thanks for the call. Very sorry for that difficult situation and for your loss. But Christine, there it is. Hard to get reliable services, Joya saying, and that issue of turnover. Ideally, you'd like to have the same people coming to provide that care.
Absolutely. And we should be thinking more carefully about what the jobs are like for these people and making sure they have good orientation and training and enough pay and benefits to find it worthwhile to stick with the job.
Joya, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Diane with us in Sheboygan. Diane, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to make the comment that I've been working in the senior care industry for like 23 years, and I've been an administrator in assisted living. And I always make the comparison. My husband works at Miller Brewing Company, and we pay brewery workers almost $30 an hour to make beer in Wisconsin. Yet we pay our caregivers like $9 an hour to care for our seniors. And that just, I think, is just kind of exemplifies, you know, the thought process of the state, well, across the country, really.
Diane, thanks for the call. $9 an hour, she says, for caregivers in assisted living. Is this an issue of priorities, Christine?
It also is a kind of market situation. People will do this work for $9, but they can't afford almost to have the kind of commitment that we would see from the beer workers. I'd be curious to do a comparative study of those manufacturing workers versus the assisted living workers, and the amount of knowledge that people build up on the job is probably similar, even though it's about different subjects, obviously.
Thanks for that call, Diane. We're talking to Christine Bishop from Brandeis University. She researches long-term care for seniors, and that's the issue we're talking about, the costs of caring for seniors. You can join us at 800-642-1234. We'll go next to Judith on the line in Spooner. Judith, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So I was making the point that when you do have private pay, you tend to be gouged because you have to be paying for those low returns on Medicaid. And because there's such a high percentage of Medicaid patients, I'm paying over $12,000 a month for my mother to be in a long-term care facility. And when her money's gone, then she will go on Medicaid. But they try and make up their loss by private pay and, in essence, gouging people. And every month I learned something new and recently learned that doesn't even cover her medication. I have to pay that separate. So I'll just leave it there.
Judith, thanks for the call and good luck in dealing with that situation. Christine, is that the case? Medicaid, low reimbursement rates. So if I'm operating a facility, I'm saying at least I'm not making a lot on Medicaid patients. I have to charge more for people paying out of pocket?
Well, the nursing homes, in order to stay open, they are facing what economists would call a two-part market. And the theory would say that they're charging they won't take Medicaid patients unless they are paying at least their additional costs. But it's likely that the private pay residents are covering the overhead costs, so that you do see different prices for these two parts of the market. It's interesting that the private pay residents have, many of them, migrated toward assisted living. So nursing homes are having a tough time staying open. They're closing in our state here in Massachusetts. And there's just been a shift in the market. So, again, I think we need to think about a total public policy toward this so that the people who really need nursing home care will have it there for them when they need it.
So you're saying we need to think about a public policy, but are we thinking about public policy on this? We hear a lot of the debate over, you know, the health care, the Affordable Care Act, the American Health Care Act. Are people even treating this as a policy issue?
Painfully, for someone who's been working on this for many years, this has been on the back burner in recent years, partly because of how important solving our health insurance situation has been. And we do need to solve the health insurance issues first. But there are groups in Washington who are trying to get together in a bipartisan way and think about how we should be financing long-term care. So there is some hope on the horizon, I would say.
And is this something that states could be doing at the local level, basic inaction from the federal government?
Absolutely. Hawaii actually came very close to passing a statewide long-term care program that would help residents of Hawaii. Now, they're a little different because they're sort of isolated. I mean, you can imagine what the issues are for states where people could migrate in and out to get a better long-term care deal. But states may have to step up on this and be the lead on it.
Christine, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
That was Christine Bishop, economist and professor at the Heller School at Brandeis University. She was a senior staff member on a U.S. Senate Commission on Long-Term Care in 2013, and she joined us for a look at the ongoing costs of long-term care for seniors. Still time for you to share your thoughts and experiences over at the Central Time Facebook page.